for argument, United States versus Kendrick. Mr. Fall.
Good morning, Your Honors. Brian Fall, Federal Defender Services, on behalf of Robert Kendrick. May it please the Court, Mr. Kendrick asked this Court to revisit its holdings in Vasquez and Sanders.
Yeah, I'm bothered by that. Regardless of the merits of the Vasquez case, it was decided less than a year ago. Rehearing en banc was denied. We can't go reopening our cases that are decided a few months ago.
Well, Your Honor, I think one of a factor that may weigh in favor of reexamining is the fact that Carr, the Supreme Court case Carr, was decided after both Vasquez and Sanders had both been briefed and argued, and so that the issues weren't fully developed by counsel.
Oh, that's but Vasquez discusses Carr, doesn't it?
It does in a limited sense, and I think it misapplies Carr in a number of cases. In one instance, it doesn't go far enough to.
Well, you can always criticize an opinion, but it's an institutional question. Should a court reexamine a recent precedent where there was an opportunity for rehearing en banc? It was applied for, and the court decided not to hear it. Now it's a few months later. And do we want to encourage this kind of unsettledness of the law?
Well, Your Honor,
one panel decided this. Well, we've got a slightly different panel, actually, just one different judge. So, let's try and see. Maybe another panel has a different view.
And
you have two panels with opposite decisions. Then the court would have to take it en banc.
Your Honor, I understand that there is an institutional benefit in having this idea of stare decisis, but,
I think it should be correct in the
first instance. And I think that
understand your argument, although I realize Judge Mannion.
No, this case is a lot different than Vasquez. Vasquez had very specific, limited facts. It was clever. They confined it. There wasn't any time set out of how long he'd been there or why he traveled. In your case, we know why he traveled. He got a new job. He got a new driver's license. There's no question he didn't register when he went to the other state with a whole new job. And then he stops a phony prostitute, and they check him out and find out he hadn't registered. Vasquez, there was no evidence, purposely, of how long he was there and why he went there. And you say, well, what if he went there for a wedding or a funeral and was going to come back? Okay, that is not what happened here.
No, and I still think that Carr is what should limit this court's holding into
What's the language in Carr that limits it?
Well, Carr talks in two instances about the travel needing to be to evade your duty to register or that you travel to elude registering in a certain state. So that the travel requirement is not just jurisdictional. It's also, Carr says, it's the conduct that's being regulated. In that case, the travel must be illicit. And this court's holdings in Vasquez and Sanders do not require that the travel be for an illicit purpose. I think Carr dictates that result.
For purpose to avoid registry?
Yes.
And I forget what the statute says versus what Carr. Carr filled in a lot of blanks.
Correct. The statute does not say anything about an invasive purpose.
Right.
However, the language of Carr is clear that there must be, that the travel, interstate travel, is not just jurisdictional. It is the offense, and therefore that's why you get this language about evading or purpose to elude.
Hey, but your purpose is pretty clear. The purpose was to get another job and to work somewhere else and get a driver's license, live in another state. Now, that, there may be an argument made, well, is that really enough? And maybe that's what this case will say. I don't know.
And that's what we're asking, that there was, at the time that Mr. Kendrick pled guilty.
How are you going to parse people's intentions?
Just like any other specific intent crime, Your Honor, how we prove that there was an intent to deceive or an intent to defraud, we do it by circumstantial evidence.
What does that have to do with the Commerce Clause?
Well, the Commerce Clause is the second part. I think that the reading that this Court has adopted in Vasquez and Sanders leads to these Commerce Clause questions, where that the federal government can have indefinite jurisdiction over somebody based on innocent travel. And I think if this Court interprets the SORNA to allow for
what
travel,
does regulating commerce have to do with innocence?
Well, it's the travel. It's what you're either registering. You're either what they're seeking to control is the channels of interstate commerce and keeping those free from illicit uses. And that's why if the sex offender travels from Illinois to Kenosha.
What if they said sex offenders can never leave their state? Would that violate the Commerce Clause?
It may. I
think
why? That would
I mean, what does that have to do with
well,
that?
Well, I mean, not the Commerce Clause, but may, there are other constitutional rights that would be
at least ability. There has to be something.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Paul. So, Mr. Koenig?
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Jonathan Koenig. I appear on behalf of the United States. The panel has anticipated with their questions most of the points that I wish to make morning, so I'm content to rest on my briefs, but of course I will also answer any questions that you may have.
Well, you'll acknowledge, I guess, that the Carr case filled in a lot of blanks on the statute.
I would submit, Your Honor, that Carr is not so much a Commerce Clause case as a statutory construction case.
But didn't it eliminate some things? Because it seemed to me, and this is where my argument came in before, that the statute itself left a big blank. It implied that you could just somebody who traveled interstate before was enough to invoke, as opposed to traveling interstate for some purpose. But now, I'm not making that argument anymore. I think Carr elaborated a lot, and that's what we have now. It was true that those other cases were decided before. I'm sorry, at the trial level were decided before Carr came down. So.
Well, it's an interesting point that you make about Carr because it did, of course, clarify what the sequence has to be.
No.
What I was starting to say earlier is I think the case was more about how to interpret the language of the statute. There was a lot of discussion of the present tense. Does this apply to travel occurring before the effective date of the legislation? No, it doesn't. But interestingly, in a portion of Carr that's quoted in Mr. Kendrick's reply brief, the court said, had Congress intended to subject any unregistered state sex offender who has ever traveled in interstate commerce to federal prosecution under 2250, it easily could have adopted language to that effect. So the court apparently didn't see any Commerce Clause problem with what my opponent refers to as infinite jurisdiction. What they saw was a statutory interpretation problem applying the statute to conduct before the effective date of the law.
They cleared it up,
so. We would ask you to reaffirm your recent precedent in Vasquez and uphold the conviction in this case.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Koenig. Mr. Fall, your time expired, but if you have anything further, you can have a minute.
Mr. Kendrick.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you're a defender?
Yes.
And we thank the defenders for their representation of Kendrick.